thought for today. The thought for today, we say follow the rules, follow the program. Now, why would we ever want to follow the program? Well, we go to our office, and the boss says, okay, I want you to give me 20 minutes of your time. Let's work on this. So you work on 20 minutes of your time with the boss. You go over a bunch of things, and okay, fine, thank you. Now, he doesn't say, now immediately go back to your desk and get busy with what you were doing before. He says, okay, fine, thank you. Now, let's say there's 10 people there. Three people immediately run to the bathroom. Three people immediately run to the water cooler. Three people immediately talk with each other about what has happened. One person goes back to their desk and immediately gets to work. Now, the work of the one person who immediately goes back to his desk is very excellent. He's a very diligent, dedicated, determined, disciplined worker. And his work is always done. His work is always competent. His work is always efficient. And he feels at the end of the day, did a good job today. He goes home. He leaves his work at his desk. In the morning when he comes in, he sits down at his desk. First thing, he's had his coffee already. He's had his playtime. He rode on the train to get there, or drove in the car, whatever he did. And he sits at his desk, which is all organized from the night before, and he knows exactly what he's going to do. Too early to make some phone calls, so the first thing he does is just goes through some of the projects that he has in mind. Takes one at a time and goes through it and does it beautifully. And 10:15 comes along, time for a coffee break. He gets up, he goes to the coffee machine, buys a cup of coffee, stands talking there for 2 or 3 minutes, drinks the coffee, goes back to his desk with the coffee. He doesn't make any long drawn out discussions, long drawn out arguments with his friends about politics or other things, things that are of no consequence, but the thing is that they can be very, very interesting and very demanding. He doesn't get involved in that sort of stuff while he's in the office. In the office is for the office time. He gets back at his desk and he immediately goes back to his projects, works on his projects. Next thing you know, it's lunch. He's got his projects done, made his phone calls, did all the things that had to be done. His day is right the way he planned it. His work is done, his efficiency is done, the afternoon goes the same as the morning, and he feels very satisfied at the end of the day. Puts his desk in order, prepares it for the breakfast, prepares it for the morning, and he's all set when he comes to work the next morning. He doesn't have to try to figure out what he's going to do. It's all established because he knows what he wants to do. So he goes home, has a pleasant evening with his family, and goes to bed, feels that was a good day. Okay, here at the monastery, we have a schedule too. We have a schedule for getting up and preparing ourselves, going down to the gym to do exercises and go in the swimex and the jacuzzi and the exercycle. And then after we're all done with that, we clean up the room and shower and go and prepare breakfast and have breakfast. Then after breakfast, we clean up the breakfast area and go down to have our om in the embassy. And we arrive promptly at 7 for the om. And we have our om. Then at 7:10, we have the genius monk talk. And 7:20, the dean's thought for today. And at 7:50, introspection. We have a nice time for introspection, 7:50 to 8:40, almost 60 minutes. And we can listen within ourselves. And we enjoy it very much. Then we do our reading time for our lesson. But our introspection time is really not terribly important. A time where we listen within. Because we allow ourselves to get up and put the glass of water away, blow out the candle, put that away. We allow ourselves to chit-chat among each others. We allow ourselves to be distracted by Ellen, who is sending out the talk on the internet. We allow ourselves to be distracted by the pets and by other things that are going on. So our introspection doesn't begin, so maybe until quite late. And then it's time for reading the lesson. Now, I've read the lesson before. I know the lesson. I don't need to read the lesson. If I read the lesson, I've done it before. But now let's just say you're done with the lesson. You've read the lesson 3 times a day for 1 week, and you're done with the whole series of 30 lessons from the Art and Science of Wholeness or whatever book you're reading. So this 50 minutes is supposed to be spent, 45 minutes is supposed to be spent on your study time. So that means you quickly go to your desk and you start typing on your thesis, or you begin writing your book report, your book review, or your tape review, or you sit down and you listen to your tape. And if you're going to have time walking from here to there and you want to use the time constructively, you bring your tape recorder along and you listen to the tape while you're walking along. And you can listen to it while you're walking and concentrate on it and get the message from it very well. But I did this before. I'm redoing the Art and Science of Wholeness because we did it before and I graduated, and I'm just doing it now because this is part of our study time. It's just something to fill in the study time. It's not really very important. It's just something to fill in the study time because I'm supposed to be studying. And if I'm not studying, then the study time will be taken away and we'll be doing something else. And so therefore, I should be studying. I should be doing whatever I should be doing. And that's a very fascinating motivation to do anything. And with that kind of fascinating motivation, we have no interest in what the words are that we're reading. We've read them before. We have no interest in what the book is that we're reading. Oh, we're reading The Life and Teaching of the Master of the Far East again. Oh, this is such a charming, casual book. It's delightful. Next time through, it's even more interesting, you know, and so forth. Or we're listening to the tape. Now, to get the most out of our introspection, we put the most into it. I enjoyed John Charles Dainty during his short year here. By short year, it seems though he arrived one day and left the next, a year later, because he fit so harmoniously with everything we did. When it was time for introspection, he closed his eyes and didn't see, listen, or think about another thing, as far as we know, than the introspection. But of course, he is a newcomer, and he's a novice, he's a beginner, and he doesn't have our sophisticated attitudes. No, but he has a very sophisticated attitude toward his spiritual life. He came here with a dedication to follow his spiritual life, and in the process, read his Art and Science of Wholeness and do the other things that he's doing. And that's all well and good. But we are here, and each one of us have said, I want my time to do the spiritual study too, just like the people who are coming here new to do it. And they're given time to do their spiritual lessons and do their study time and to do their introspection and stuff. I want time to do that too. And I thought, oh, that's wonderful. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I just float through the ceiling thinking how wonderfully proud I am that you want to have study time too, that you want to do this. Now, you've done the courses. You've done all three courses, and you've done the practitioners and the ministerial course. Now, you're going to start over again with the Art and Science of Wholeness. Is that right?
Yep.
What are you going to do? You're going to read it three times a day. Wonderful. You're going to do the quiz at the end of the week and do it with all your heart, just like it's fresh and new. And don't write the same thing you wrote when the first did it, because you have a new advanced understanding. I mean, you've gone through three sets of courses. You've gone through the entire program of the university, graduate, postgraduate, school. Be fresh and new. You should come up with some new ideas, because you're a new person now. As you're reading this stuff, you're reading this from a master's consciousness. Wow, what wonderful things should be happening to you. And so you read the lesson three times a day. Miracles should be taking place in your life. You should be soaring. You should be walking on water. You should be snapping your fingers and having all sorts of wonderful things happen. But sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. And the reason that they don't is because you haven't entered into the courses with the same innocence, the same gentleness, the same eagerness that you had when you first entered in. So, I recommend to you that as you read your lesson, you instantly put yourself back in that same framework when you came here, that expectation, that innocence, that looking for some wonderful miracle to take place in the work that you're doing, and it will. It's wonderful. Then you have your uni time. And in your uni time, you go to the bathroom, you do other things, you grab yourself an apple or a snack or something, and you go to your desk and you clean it up a little bit, and then you decide what sort of things you're going to do. Well, by that time, it's now lunch. And so the morning uni time has been dissipated, doing nothing. Presumably, you have prepared yourself for the afternoon uni time so that you can just go click, 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 click right through the things you want to do. But if you didn't, if the afternoon uni time comes and you are then going to start thinking, now what should I do? What were you doing during the morning uni time? You should be preparing for the time you're going to do there. So then you have your lunch. And after lunch, clean up, and then you have your noontime reading of your lesson. Do you instantly sit down at 1:15 and read it? What do you call uni work? Well, many people call uni work vacuuming the house, making the meals, cleaning the table, doing those things. Well, if I talk too much at noon or at breakfast or at supper, and it goes beyond our time to clean up, then just pop that into the uni time. Don't miss your lesson study time. Don't miss your introspection time. I give you these things very specially because that's very important. Now, if you will diddle-daddle your time away, that you should be doing that, then you don't really care. You don't really want to walk your spiritual path as a master does. Now you say, well, the phone rings and I have to answer the phone. Well, that's a point too. So therein we take the chairman of the board and we tell the chairman, well, you are not on the monk's schedule. You are on your own schedule. You have to determine how you're going to do it. You have work to be done. You work through the night, through the day. Whatever has to be done, you do it. And then the abbot says, well, I have to answer the phone. Oh, so then you too are an executive. So you do your work when you can. And you get your special time. But the chairman says, well, I want to read my lesson at the time to read it too. Well, that's fine. Now, Ellen got up here this morning and brazenly said she drove down to Gateway and had a parking place right in front of the place, just like she wanted. Ellen drove down to Gateway, or the computer store, and found a parking place right in front of the store. She spoke her word and it was there. She spoke her word and it was there. She spoke her word and it was there. She spoke her word and it was there, right?
Yes.
Ellen, during your lesson time and your introspection time, you speak your word and the telephone is silent. During our dean's talk and so forth, we speak our word and the phone is silent. Is that too difficult for a consciousness that can say, parking place right in front of the store where I'm going every time? Is that too difficult? You speak your word and the phone is silent. Someone may have wanted to call. They said, no, I think I'll wait a moment. I'll call them a little bit. I want to go to the bathroom first, or I want to have my breakfast first, and then they call. People don't have to call during the time that we're doing these special programs. It's not that we don't want them to call. It's that we don't create them calling during that time. But this is work that has to be done. Well, if the phone doesn't ring, you don't have to answer it, do you? And you don't have to set phone calls up to be made during this time. And when people call you and they say, can I call you in the morning? Yeah, you can call me anytime after 8. Do you really mean that? Because at 8:40 you're reading your lesson. Say, call 9:25 in the morning. Anytime after 9:25 to 12 will be free, you know. And then anytime from 2 to 6:30 or whenever it is to 7, 2 to 7 will be available. See, these are the hours. You set them here in your brain, and then they will be adhered to by the world. Because nobody wants to call you when you're not there. What if you were not there? What if we were all outside waving goodbye to friends, and the phone rang and we didn't hear it? What happened? The answering service would pick it up, wouldn't it? Should we all be outside saying goodbye to people and not by the phone? Well, bring the phone along. They're portable. Better yet, Anita, what?
Speak my word and it's silent.
Speak my word and it's silent. Gee, that sounds tough. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Speak my word and it's silent. It's not that we're against phone calls or against business. It's a matter that we have it taking place in the right time. Do you understand? Now, Sylvia, she's concerned as the abbot that these things have to be done. Well, she creates the phone ringing and creates the phone coming during that time. So therefore, she creates herself getting up and answering it if that's necessary. And she's not with us. But rather create the phone ringing at a certain time. Ellen, when should the phone ring in the morning?
From 9:30 to 12.
Give yourself 5 minutes to get to your desk, huh? Okay, 9:30 to 12. When should it ring in the afternoon, Ingeborg?
At 2 o'clock.
Until? Two o'clock until 2 o'clock? Very short conversation.
Not ring until 2 o'clock. After 2 o'clock.
After 2 o'clock until when?
6:30.
Why 6:30?
So we start beginning
dinner. Yeah, but everybody, it doesn't have to be, yeah, anyone could answer the phone. How about until 7 when we start eating?
Yeah.
Because 6:30, we're still active and doing things. You know, we could answer the phone. But from 2 to 7, that's a nice long time. Mm-hmm. Right. And then should the phone ring from 7 until, let's see,
8.
8 in the morning? 7 at night until 8 in the morning?
No, silent.
Silent, yeah. Dinner, cleanup, lesson reading, personal time, and bed. And then arise, and you're in the swimming pool, and you're in the jacuzzi, and the exercycle, and you're cleaning up the place, and then you're making breakfast, and cleaning up, and the Om, and the genius talk, the monk talk, introspection, lesson reading. So 9:25 in the morning. So from 7 in the evening until 9:25 in the morning, it's quiet time. Interesting, huh? Could it be that way?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Sylvia, I would like you to create a sign. Not like you did with the names here, but just a sign like on such a paper. And the sign would say something to the effect, phones are allowed to ring on campus from 7 until, let's say, from 9:25 to noon, and from 2 to 7. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Phones are allowed to ring from 9:25 until noon, and from 2 to 7. Now, what would happen? That's what they do. You see, then we know when they're supposed to ring. Because we think the phones are supposed to ring any time they want to ring, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we want them to ring at that time. Now, when does Herb get done with us so that we can do our things on time?
Always on time.
So at 7:50, I'm already 4 minutes over. At 7:50, introspection begins, right? Okay. So, take 5 minutes out of your uni time, so at 9:30 you begin, and get busy now on your introspection and then your lesson reading. Okay?
Yes, sir.
And so it is.
Yes.
I love you.
Yes.